2021 Writing Contest Honorable Mention, The Visitor and the Amaranth by Diana Soto. Hey, Miguel, it's been a long time. I stopped by to see how you were doing. Yes, I'm the one who is gazing at you right now, the one who really knows you. Wow, you're getting gray hair, but it suits you. I feel ignored. Can you please stop staring at that bottle of perfume and listen to me? By the way, you should have thrown it away a long time ago. Oops, it's hard to get out of self-absorption when I wonder about her. I know I should have. I tried too many times, but many more times I'll leave it where it is because it is the only thing that's left from Ani, my amaranth. You're crazy. You are a hopeless masochist. Your eyes betray you. Obviously, it still causes too many dark emotions to surface in you. The pain doesn't matter. I rather hold on to those memories as the first time I saw her. It seems like if it was yesterday. I remember I was chatting with Rosa about how great I felt after getting over my breakup with Carla. Carla, she was the pretty exchange student from Spain. I remember how hard it was for you to erase her from your memory. The feeling of her soft hair tangled between your fingers, her seductive and warm accent whispered in your ear. If you could get over her in a reasonable time, why can't you get over Anid after almost 2 decades? The answer might be that the pain that Carla inflicted on me when she cheated gave me the strength. But Ani, I do not even recall being upset with her, not once. She was all the reasons in the world I felt like the happiest man on earth. How ironic that she was the reason why I felt the unhappiest man too, right? Let's not get gloomy just yet. Let's focus on remembering. I also remember that first day. She got out of the elevator and you thought she looked like an angel. Rosa suggested, beaming, that you approach her on the pretext that you needed sugar. You said, no, don't even think about it, turning red. She kept trying to convince you, delighted with the idea of adding some pepper and what she thought it was an insipid life without love. But Rosa didn't know how obstinate you might be. She only needed to act without asking, and that's what happened. A few days later, Rosa ran into her at the entrance to the apartments and struck up a conversation. By one of life's great coincidences, Anid was struggling in her basic philosophy class, exactly what you specialized in. Rosa took the opportunity and told her about you. She gladly agreed to see you that night. How your face lit up when you got the news, because that was totally different. Then you had a legitimate reason to talk to her. How your heart counted the microseconds it took her to open the door after Rosa and you knocked. Then Rosa greeted, "Hi, dear, this is Miguel, the expert on philosophical entanglements." "It's so nice to see you again, Rosa. Nice to meet you, Miguel," Anid said, kissing both of you on the cheeks. For a second you felt like wanting to turn around and run away. I think it would have been the smartest thing to do, but you suddenly preferred to stay very willing to jump head first toward the cliff. "Come in," she invited with her singing and joyous voice. Rosa excused herself, saying that she had only come to make sure you met, that she had an important meeting to attend. In a blink of an eye, you two were alone. Like an automaton, you started to follow Anid to the dining room table, which was also her study table, enraptured in her walk, in her reddish hair, in her ease to make you feel hypnotized, somehow comfortable as if you'd known her forever. "So, what do you need help with?" you asked, entering safe ground where you felt in control. "We are studying what is the concept of tabula rasa according to John Locke in An Essay of Human Understanding," Anid answered, handing you some papers. You started to give her a general knowledge from the top of your mind. She confused you by her dominance of the subject. "Incorrect. I remember clearly telling her that she understood everything very well. Anid answered me honestly. Her expressions didn't let her hide her emotions. I remember she said, 'I understand it because you explain it in a way that captures my attention. That's what it is. Because of that, I designate you as my personal teacher from now on, if you don't have any objection. Yeah, right. That is why she wove the web in which you became so easily entangled. Since then, you two saw each other almost every day, and sometimes even several times. You even decided to learn Italian to help her in that matter, too. Since when were you interested in Italian? Yes, I did like it, believe it or not. Yeah, right. It hadn't even crossed your mind that such a language existed. Here is another thing. You never invited anyone to lunch on a date, but you took her to dinner for her birthday at one of the best restaurants in the area. Even she was surprised by your gesture. How she smiled from ear to ear, knowing that you had fallen into her nets. Annie was smiling because she always smiled. Talking about that day, I remember that she trusted me so blindly that she let me surprise her by letting me choose everything from hors d'oeuvres to dessert. I tell you, I will never regret that or all the time I spent with her. I don't even regret not being more obvious in my feelings. She would have walked away from me, that's for sure. She was afraid of relationships because of her very bad experience with her ex. Otherwise, I enjoyed that Annie felt free to ask me to stay by her bedside until she fell asleep when she didn't feel well. Annie really must have been a fool if she didn't wonder about you staying just to be nice. An idiot if she didn't suspect anything when you two spent the whole day on the beach. It was too obvious. You were talking about your opinions about having children. You said that was not in your plans and explained all your reasons. She commented, "If I ever find someone, I would like to have children. I would love to have two. If you are not interested, all you must do is let the person you fall in love with know about it, and that's it. You can also opt for a vasectomy to not take an itch."
Without even letting her finish telling, you clarified,
"Wow, that's very drastic. Well, it's not a definitive opinion. I think it also depends a lot on how comfortable I feel with that person, because I don't know who I am going to fall in love with, do you? I also didn't think you would like to have kids."
You continued talking about the matter, and she was thoughtful. "Do you really think it didn't cross her mind, Miguel?"
"It could have crossed her mind. The thing is, she never showed it. I bothered myself for that slip for some time, but if she ignored it or didn't get it, I still didn't know it, so I stopped torturing myself with useless assumptions."
"But, Miguel, you need to move forward. The first step is acceptance. She did wrong. She cruelly took advantage of your goodwill, and I am committed to open your eyes. So, what about later when both of you got in the water? You acted unusually jealous, demanding to move away from there because a gang of boys would not stop staring at Anid."
Her cheeks flushed, and she was uncomfortably silent for a while.
"Now, what do you have to say?"
"This is simple. That was because Anid was shy. She didn't like to draw attention to herself."
"Shy? Did you just say shy, Miguel? She didn't think twice that time when she spent the night with you."
"Yeah, sure, if only it had been at least a little bit of how that sounds. However, I don't regret it either. I know what had to happen happened, and I enjoyed it anyway."
"Miguel, what did you say you enjoy? Come on, put a few drops of her fragrance in that handkerchief so that you can breathe them in and remember it better. Since you don't get rid of it, at least use it. We are going to relive it as vividly as we can. Now, take a deep breath. Let it go. One more time. Inhale and exhale. Here we go."
It all started a few months before your world fell apart. She began to feel ill and decided to spend a few days at her parents' house. She called you to tell you. You wanted to see her, but you were on your way to class, and her transportation was leaving in 15 minutes. No, you didn't imagine that you would not see her for 30 miserable days. So you went to class quietly, to go crazy when you lost communication with her for days.
Then you found out that you almost lost her due to that evil virus that inflated her throat monstrously and threatened to break her blood vessels with a small movement. You thought many times about taking the 2-hour trip to see her, but you were cowed because you didn't know her family. Maybe it would have made a difference, but it was better that way. She didn't suit you. Like weed, she returned after 4 weeks, even though she was not fully recovered. She still fatigued easily, and you knew it. Anyway, you came to visit her right away.
Miguel, I missed you a world, she exclaimed from a distance, not to risk infecting you.
For the first time, you stepped forward and drew her to you, throwing away your insecurities, starved for her presence. You held each other for a long time. It was Anid who stood back, warning, "Hey, you must be careful. I don't know if this is still contagious."
"Well, if it is, it doesn't bother me. Anyway, I'm going to die of something, right?"
"Well, I want to make sure that it is not my fault. I don't want that on my conscience."
Then you invited her for a ride to Old San Juan. She was breathlessly hanging on your arm without complaining.
"Do you think you can walk a bit more? We are close to my favorite place."
"Yes, I think so," she answered, doing her very best to cause you trouble. How could she make it back if she was already like that? It doesn't make any sense.
Both of you kept walking until you found a quiet bench in a plaza facing the beach. She rested a little and then freely chatted while you were delighted in observing her secretly. You didn't get tired of admiring her angelic gestures, her porcelain skin, and her hair blowing nonchalantly in the breeze. So the hours went by until you realized that there were 5 minutes left to catch the last round of public buses.
Anid tried to follow in your footsteps, but she barely had any breath left. There was a festival, and the closer you got to the center of town, the more people gathered and the harder it was to pass through. When you got to the stop, the last bus was already driving away. She dropped herself on a bench, not even having strength to think straight. Traffic was hardly moving. You tried to look for a taxi like a madman. There was not one. You went back to her and suggested to stay in a hotel. Anid vaguely nodded and almost fainted just to get to her feet. A tall and robust boy, who had been aware of the situation, piggybacked her and accompanied you to the nearest hotel, where only 3 single rooms were available. She agreed with you in sharing a bed to cover the exorbitant cost. Adrenaline kept your head busy, but on the way to the room, you realized what was really going to happen. You and Anid would spend the night together. Wow, together. Your dreams come true. And you were sweaty, upset with yourself. She left you overwarm with your thoughts while she took a shower. After your turn to shower, you cooled off. Then you went back to the room and abruptly stopped, confused by the scene. You asked Anid, "What the hell are you doing, messing up the pillows and blankets?" She answered, looking at you with a childish, lively expression on her face, "I'm building the Great Wall." "You don't think," you started to say with a rather indignant tone, but Anid interrupted you by clarifying jovially, "I'm just trying to keep you safe from a night beating. Ha ha ha, I move around a lot when I sleep. Well, thanks for the luxury and good night, my love."
"Cut it off, please," she said. "Good night, Miguel."
"Whatever you say." Then she fell into the arms of Morpheus, the god of dreams, looking like an authentic nymph to you. You were the one who did not sleep. Her presence clouded your thoughts. Your level of self-control was plummeting. You've always bragged about rationing, a true Apollonian example. What happened then? Well, I will tell you. It happened that thanks to her, and only her, your sanity started to decline. Just a few days later, she started talking casually about a guy she recently met. You didn't take it seriously until several weeks when you were on your way to class with a classmate and turned right in a corner and ran abruptly into them, walking hand in hand towards you. It was too late to sneakily avoid them. She enthusiastically introduced you to Keith. how you fought to suppress that whirlwind of destructive feelings that took over. You maneuvered to be brief. She noticed your coldness, but she was convinced when later you invented that you were upset with the study partner who was accompanying you. From that moment, you tried to get away from her without any result. To facilitate the effort, you changed the ringtone so that you knew when she called and not flinch in verifying who it was so as not to answer. What irony that instead of improving, you had a fit every time it wasn't her. Despite the fact that she didn't call you, your blood boiled. If it was finally her, you felt a slight sensation of pleasure that immediately turned into an apocalyptic struggle between ignoring her call and answering. In fact, you agreed to her request for tutoring Keith as well. Then you started to listen to me. At last, you no longer ignored me. Nonetheless, you had the bad idea to tell her what we were up to. Anid didn't believe you when I told you about the plot the professors of the humanities faculty had against you. She was alarmed about the 500 threatening letters that we printed and slipped under the door of each of the members of the faculty. She tried to persuade you to talk to a counselor to help you channel stress. Ha! She called me stress, so you didn't notice she thought something was wrong with you. But you did great. You ignored her. She stubbornly messed with our business, but it was too late. I prevailed over her, and even if you still don't want to admit it, I am the one who faithfully remains by your side. Later, Rosa told you what Anid went through because of you. In Anid's final exam in Italian class, she received a call from the police. They would summon her to the university counseling center where you were detained. She stormed out of the classroom and hopped down the stairs. She ran across the campus from one end to the other, taking the world out of her way. Once Anid got in, she demanded to see you. Calm down. I'm Officer Rodriguez. We called you because we need information about Miguel, and the phone log shows your number many times, so we... He made a pause to point to another two officers leaning intimidating against two other doors. Assume that you know him pretty well. Am I wrong? I will tell you what I know, but first tell me what happened. Is he okay? Where is he? Why can't I hear him? She desperately asked, looking everywhere for any trace of you. Sorry, I can't tell you. What? Why in the world can you not tell me? She yelled out, unleashing her desperation, and tried to force open the doors, screaming your name insanely, until the officer agreed to tell her what happened to you. Okay, okay, calm down. Have a seat. I guess you deserve to know what happened with your boyfriend. Aha, she nodded, without clarifying anything. Maybe she thought that her being your girlfriend was what would let her know what was happening with you, or who knows. Maybe she attributed that label to herself. The thing is that she kept her mouth shut and let him talk. Students reported that Miguel was snatching cell phones from people, accusing them of talking about him. Then he even attacked a student and started to take off his own clothes when he tried to run away from us. Anid covered her face with her hands, sobbing and begging to see you, but she was not allowed before they sent you to the asylum. Finally, there were people who knew that she was no good for you. Furthermore, I can assure you that it was just a show because she never tried to visit you. Don't you remember what she did? She planned her wedding while you consumed yourself cloistered in those four walls. In 2 months, they finally released you. Anid learned about it and went looking for you. She found out that you had been approved for the college teaching assistant job and your schedule. There she went to stand in front of the door to wait for her beloved friend. "Miguel, how good you look! I missed you so much!" she exclaimed, hugging you tightly as soon as you came out. You dropped your arms and replied, "Thank you," brusquely. Then you stepped back from the hug to walk away, leaving her speechless. She couldn't tell you that she would move out of the country after getting married. Still, Anid tried to call you in vain. I thought that then I would have an opportunity to have your attention. Sadly, you abandoned us both. Yes, back then and now,
I don't want to listen to you anymore. Miguel, hear me out. Are you really going to take those pills again? That is killing who you really are. Why don't you stop? Because the doctors say that I am not real? You take the pills to not listen to me. Let me tell you, it just means that I am real. What happened with the intoxicated people? They use drugs to alter their reality. Isn't that exactly what you are doing? You're right. You are real. I can hear you and see you. Good. Because I live as long as you live. However, I prefer to do without your companionship. I know you will appear again. But now I must take care of my employees and my students. Thanks for the conversation. Ciao.